Sit back and relax while I listen to Train Kickers Podcast. I'm Dave, and along with my co-hosts Dan and Steve, we're taking you all around the world in miniature wargaming. On tonight's episode, we are getting back to going through the special characters for Horus Heresy. This was a patron request to essentially kind of go back through, now that we've played more games of out for longer, we've seen some more of this, and in some cases, like the first one we're going to talk about today, GW has done some alterations to them, and see what we think. So, if you're watching, you'll be able to see the way we divvy this out. If not, we'll explain it when we get into it shortly. But we're going to do exactly the same we did for the Loyalists. Goal for tonight, because I will put it, this is Wednesday the 20th. This is the day that at midnight they're doing the special reveals as well. And we are starting rather late. So we're going to get through a little bit tonight. And then hopefully next week we'll be back with some more stuff. Now, if you've only been listening on Podcatchers, you've missed quite a bit of things we've been putting out. I've been putting out a bunch of Conquest videos. Have more stuff with Conquest I'm doing next week. Hopefully do some Imperialis stuff. If not this week, next week as well. So some of it we put on Podcatcher. Some of it I don't, because some of it, not that you have to see, but it can be useful to take a look here and there. So if I think it's too tough not to be able to see any of it, I usually don't post it. Although I might still, just to be able to get more things there as well. Because we do put out quite a bit more than it shows. So, like I said, for other stuff, there's a bunch of Conquest. We have this for 30K, and then we should be getting back to some other reports soon. Especially, like I said, battle reports, because I have one for hopefully for Conquest tomorrow. But then we also have a tournament that we're doing in about 3 or so weeks, maybe about 3.5 weeks from now. So we should be getting some stuff out of there as well. All right. And now, on to the show. All right, gentlemen. It's been a little bit since I've seen you there, because you guys have either both been busy or doing other stuff. I've been around. So how have people been?
I've been good. Steve?
Busy.
Yeah.
Things upticked at work recently, so it's been a little hectic. Some early mornings, some Conquest at Rogue State this past weekend. They had a little tournament.
Yep.
Went 2-1, which I'm pretty happy with, because I lost the guy that won the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good time. I forgot how much I enjoyed this game.
That's good.
More people should play it.
Now, you guys didn't record any games out of that one, I don't think, right?
No, we didn't.
Okay. I didn't think so. I looked. I didn't see you guys active with it.
It's like fine. To... My army is still...
Doesn't matter. The game I'm playing tomorrow, if I can get my recording stuff to work right, I know my opponent doesn't have a painted army. Doesn't matter. You know, it's all good. It's about, you know, getting them in and experience and playing and building up from there. That's the main part that matters.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Dan, you have nothing. You can't talk. You've had your Dwag for multiple years and you've painted one single Dwag home.
I have. Oh, man. But so, I painted the shield captain today.
Yeah, we don't care about any of that.
In an hour. You know, if Dweg were gold or gloss.
They could be gold.
They are gold. They are sprayed gold. That's their undercoat.
Yeah, he's just going to do the same exact thing he did with his custodes, probably.
No, Alpha Legion. But it's different, though, because Alpha Legion, I did undercoat silver. The gold makes the blue a little bit more... greenish, if you will, which is fine. I wanted that in the first place.
Yeah, that's just color theory right there. Yeah. Blue and yellow make
the
green.
Silver and the blue made the Alpha Legion. This is more gold and blue. But no, I painted a shield captain in an hour because I was bored.
Yeah.
So he's done now.
You already have like a dozen of those completely around. Sure,
we'll say a dozen. Sure.
Oh, no, you got more than that.
Oh, man. But I went to a 40K tournament. That was fun. Don't want to do that again for a while.
You're doing that again in like 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks. On the 7th, we have a 40K tournament.
Oh, that's right. No, but that's a double. Okay, so I was just going to. So the 40K tournament I went to at RT at Rogue State, that was kind of. Listen, it was a tournament. I wouldn't do it again. It was very long. It's I don't know. But the doubles tournament in Toy Whip was super fun. We got it at the same time I did it at Rogue State, and I wasn't as tired. It wasn't as, like, drained. It actually was a lot of fun. My partner was super cool. He was one of the employees at the store. It was Tau and I played Custodes. And honestly, it was actually kind of fun. I enjoyed myself immensely. We got our butts handed to us the last round. We went 2-1. We lost the last round, I think 100 to like 39 or 36.
Yeah. That's
right. But we came in third place. We came in third place, even with that. But even with our butts getting handed to us, it was I still had fun. I don't know, because it's double
tournaments. He's a real cool dude. He's a really cool dude.
Double tournaments are just a completely different beast. It does drain you as quickly, but on the side, you tend to have a little more fun, at least in my opinion.
Well, doubles tournaments, especially when it's 1,000 points per player style doubles tournament, you're actively working with another person, and they usually just are a lot more casual type games. It's not going as hard as like a 40-man RTT is, or just naturally would be.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we have the one coming up in Maple. We have that on the 7th. We have a Conquest tournament on the 14th, both on Sundays, because we're running things on Sundays. So, I'm not entirely sure why. For whatever reason, we want to do it on Sundays. I don't know, maybe because we're playing Vitae all day on Saturdays.
It's weird that it's on a Sunday. Still coming, but super weird.
I think part of it was so that way there is no competition, because a lot of stores will do all their... Because we did the same thing for Marvel. We did the Marvel on Sunday, because a lot of stores will do stuff on Saturdays. Okay, well, we're doing Sunday. That's also a day that people have free. They could do it. We don't run tournaments in a way that we're going to be there till like 9 p.m., so people can still get home in a reasonable time. But for whatever reason, I asked originally when we put it together, because I'm running both of them. I was like, oh, is Sunday intentional? He's like, yep. I was like, all right, Sunday it is.
I just got to find a partner. That's the big thing.
I'm sure there'll be people.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, there will be. I mean, are you going to the store this weekend? Because you can start asking people. I know some people started pairing off.
Well, no, I'm going on Friday to help Franco learn how to play.
Okay, so then on Friday, talk to people about it. Or get Steve to play with you. Listen, I'm a backup since I'm running it. I don't want to have a team, because someone drops last second, then I'll fill in for that person.
Exactly. No, it makes sense.
So I'm playing the Conquest tournament either way, but for this one, I will be there and available in case, or if there's like an odd number that I'll play 1 versus 2, so no one has to sit out or something like that. So I've actually had the week off, so I've just been painting some stuff, printing a whole bunch of stuff, and working on all kinds of other things. So didn't get nearly as much painting done as I would like, but today I did quite a bit, and then tomorrow I'm supposed to play some games and do more. And you know, Friday I've don't know what I have scheduled, maybe some games, and then Sunday I think I have an old world game scheduled.
Okay,
so all right, well, normally we might vamp for a little bit longer or anything like that, but we are running rather late today, so we want to get started, especially because we got to make sure that I want to have some time in between, one, changing out prints, but also two, because tonight is the reveals and I want to watch that. Now, we did talk about doing a live, wasn't planning on it, because I don't know, I don't even think they were showing much. At least the Adepticon one's usually pretty short. I think the last Adepticon one was like 30 minutes or something like that, if I remember back. So nothing we planned. So we are going through with the Heretic special characters. Now, the categories we have, again, it's like S, A, B, C, and like F tier. But to give them a little bit more flavor, S is the idea too much for casual. This is a model that is just exceptionally good, top of the line, that kind of thing. A tier is, the option of let your opponent know. They are very good. Your army will be better for them, but your army is not going to necessarily be, breaking something or just running roughshod over people for it. B is why not for an event. They're casual enough. You should absolutely just be able to bring them, have fun with them. I know most events, at least we do, don't do special characters. None of these characters would be a problem. They give you a good theme. Otherwise, just be fun. C tier is love the fluff. So you like who they are. You like the idea of what they do. But they don't perform well enough. So when you compare them to maybe the bog standard model, they're a little bit more, you get a tiny bit more, but you don't get enough to make you excited about it. And the bottom tier, F tier, is need the Emperor's Mercy. There's just something terribly wrong with it. It just doesn't work for a variety of reasons. Now, when we look at this, we do look at it in terms of both how do the rules fit for them and who they are, how competitive do we feel they are, how much do they help their army, all those sort of facets. So it's not a purely, to crush your opponent sort of view, but we are looking for viability here. All right. Maybe I'll start with the first one, because I know this actually has changed a little bit, and this will be super, super fast. So talk about some of that needed the Emperor's Mercy, maybe not anymore, was Rylanor. He is the first one. So we're going through the traitors, starting Emperor's Children, of course, because he did drop by 35 points. He desperately needed it, because yes, for some reason he was 250 points before. He also got better in weapon skill, attacks, and leadership. So he's actually something now. Keep in mind, for anyone who doesn't know, this is a loyalist dreadnought, essentially. He wasn't always, but now he it becomes, you know, the unyielding, stuff like that. So he's now in a dreadnought. He's move 8. He's now weapon skill 6. Used to be 5, so used to be contemptor levels. Now he's 1 better. Still blizzard skill 5. He's 7s in strength, toughness, wounds, all of that. Initiative 4. He gets the extra attack. He gets the 4 attacks. He gets the extra leadership. Not so concerned about that. He, of course, is a 2-up save because he's a contemptor. He's a contemptor, though, with a Gravis Power Fist with a Heavy Flamer and a Carrier's Assault Cannon. He, of course, has the Automatic Deflector. He's a contemptor. He has the other bonus he has from a contemptor is he has Crusader. And he can take a Dreadnought Drop Pod. All right, so for a Carrier's Contemptor's 190, so 25 extra points. He gets an extra weapon skill. He gets an extra attack. And his extra leadership, I don't care. That's fine. Would you pay 25 points to take an extra weapon skill and attack? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
That weapon skill, combined with that he is an Emperor's Child, means that he will charge a Dreadnought, and he will solo the Dreadnought one round, and it will never swing back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes him into a custodian dreadnought, and that custodian dreadnoughts are not monsters. That's what it basically does.
Yeah, keep in mind if they get the charge, they get the extra initiative. So actually the things he cares about, he's going before. And also he's now at a praetor level for that line with his weapon skill.
Yeah. It makes him actually super he will crush a dreadnought. Hits on 3s, attacks before them, so it's not even at the same time.
Yeah, so he's 3s and 2s. They have 5 ups versus it, but if they miss it...
What's 5 ups on Brutal 3?
Huh?
Which is 5 ups on Brutal 3.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 9 wounds, 4 of them, 3 hit.
Well, so 4 of them, we're saying he charged, so he's on 5 attacks. Yeah.
So 3 of them hit.
He should get about 3 through.
Yeah, it's also going to be on average 9 around wounds. 3.
Yeah, so it's 9. Even if he doesn't entirely take them out in that, they won't be able to take him out because he's a better weapon skill, so they'll need 5s.
Yep.
So if he can't kill him in 1 round, he'll kill him in the next round.
For 25 points, easily awesome. Yeah. I love this guy.
So contemptors are already very, very good. He is more expensive, but a better contemptor. I don't want to put him at all the way at the top because I just don't think that's fitting.
No, he's not ace. He's not S tier. No. I'd say solid B because he doesn't bring a warlord trait or anything, right? He's a solid.
But you know, he's not a warlord.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Doesn't bring a warlord trait. Doesn't.
But that he's means a solid. But that gives you the viability of you can then just take whatever else you want, like one of these other characters to get their warlord trait or anything else like that. He doesn't lock you into something.
Very true.
And he's still just an elite choice. He's not even locking out an HQ choice for you. If you were going to take a contemptor in this army, you might, and you're loyalist, maybe that's what knocks him down because some of the other people are traitors and all. Because otherwise, if you're already going to run a contemptor and you're running loyalist, take him for 25 points, be better. Unless you didn't want the carries. Maybe that's what puts him the B. I'm not a huge fan of carries assault cannons.
Yeah, carries are...
I'd rather the Melta or a Gravis Last Can or something like that. I don't know. Do you have a different feeling, Steve, for why he should be better than the middle?
Because he's a weapon skill 6 dreadnought.
Right. It is true. When he gets into combat, he does crush.
And he can take a drop pod.
He can take a drop
right pod. Right there.
Drop pods, dreadnought drop pods are an assault, right?
No.
No. Okay.
No. And for the way he's armed, I mean, maybe take him in a drop pod because you can take him in a drop pod and why not? But the assault cannon, I'm not as worried about that being the drop pod either. It's more like, I said, the meltas and stuff like that I want in the drop pod because I want to be able to be in melter range of the things and destroy them. And you won't want to challenge it or come at it because it'll just melt you in the face.
Assault cannon, I'm a little less worried about. It's not a character. Can't even challenge it. It's not a character.
No.
Can't challenge
locked. Which is weird.
No, it makes him so he can't be challenge locked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's good for him that he's not a character. Crusader helps though. I don't know, I haven't been B, but maybe he should be A. I'm not sure. Excuse me. He is rather good. I don't know. Wait, so Dan wants him in B. Steve, is that where you want him in A? Is that correct?
I could do A. I could do A.
I think he's an A.
I'll do A.
I'll move him up. That's true. It would be an upgrade that you would always take if you had the option for 25 points to your Contemptor.
Oh, absolutely. For an extra weapon skill, you're out of your damn mind.
Yeah. And the other big thing is the extra attack. Because, again, one thing you can do against Contemptors if you have, you know, inexorable or stubborn or something like that is lock them down in combat. Because naturally, they usually only have three attacks.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have decent weapon skill. But if I'm a decent weapon skill thing, they're only going to pop a couple of guys and I stick around. I can tie them down, especially if I'm worried about them otherwise. That extra attack will make the difference. He's harder to tie down. So, all right, we'll pop him to A. All right. Which of you gentlemen wants the next character?
I think Eidolon. I'll think Lord Commander Eidolon. All right, so Lord Commander Eidolon, of course, 215, so he's on the higher end spectrum of special characters. Mm-hmm. Movement 7, weapon skill 6, you can be Praetor level, ballistic skill 5.
Well, he is.
Yeah, he is a Praetor. Strength and toughness 4, 3 wounds, initiative 5, 4 attacks, initiative 10, 2 up save. I think he's just straight Praetor. Hold on.
Everything else is straight Praetor, yes.
Yeah, okay, so he's normal. He's got a bunch of war gear. All right, a ton of war gear. He's got an Architect pistol, the Gloria Eterna, some Sonic Shriekers, a jump pack, Death Scream, artificial armor, iron halo, frag grenades, crack grenades. Not a lot of special rules though, which I find funny. that's kind of funny.
No, he has the base ones that you would expect for him.
Yeah, exactly. So, warlord trait. So, first of all, he's your army's warlord. At the beginning of the battle, once all opposing models have been deployed, but before the first turn began, you can select one enemy HQ or Primarch choice as Lord Command Eidolon's rival. Basically, Lord Eidolon and any unit he joins gains a +1 to hit roll against any rival or against the rival unit. And if the rival unit is part of any enemy shooting attack or combat that results in the friendly unit being utterly removed as casualties or falling back, then Lord Eidolon and any unit he's joined also gains a bonus of +1 to all wound rolls made against the rival unit for remainder of the battle after the shooting attack or combat has been fully resolved. Ooh. That's a kind of a scary bonus. He also, in addition, any unit he's joined may only declare reactions against the rival unit, so he kind of gets limited because he can only declare a reaction against the rival unit, but the first such reaction each turn is free and does not reduce the player's reaction allotment for that phase. That's a pretty damn cool warlord trait. It's really neat, not niche, that's not the word I'm looking for. It's very specific against the enemy person that you choose, but it's going to hurt when you hit them. Or if they remove something and then you get +1 to wound. As for his weapons, he has Gloria Eterna, which, love this thing. It is a strength times 2, AP 2, brutal 2. It is a Thunderhammer. It is a Thunderhammer, Mastercraft Thunderhammer. But on the charge, or a successful charge, you ignore the unwieldy rule. So when you charge with this jackass, he's swinging at initiative 6 with a Thunderhammer. Ugh. He also has a template weapon. Who cares? Strength 2, assault 1, rending 6, up pinning. There. He also has an Architect pistol, which ironically I think is better. He's got the Warhawk jump pack. The Sonic Shriekers, I believe, are the ones that give -1 to hit in the first round.
On the turn when you charge or are charged.
So, I mean, God, this guy's just baller. I I cannot think of a single negative this guy brings. Like, this is how you build a Lord Commander. He's fast, you know, with his jump pack. He actually can now take the Palatines, right? The Palatine Blade Squads can now take jump packs. That was added later in the PDF. So he goes with them. They get plus one to hit if they charge the chosen target, plus one to wound in it later on if you fail that. They're striking at high initiative because you're probably charging them because you have jump packs. The Hammer of Wrath and the Palatine Blade swinging in. This guy is just a cookie cutter. That's not the word I'm looking for.
No, that's not the word whatsoever.
A blender.
There you go.
He's just a blender. And if he charges, he swings at an issue six with a Thunderhammer. Goosh. He's just good.
Yeah, his rule is calling out for that you want to get into that HQ unit to challenge and all of that. Hopefully want them, say, maybe in part of retinue, get in there, challenge them. It does mean your opponent knows what you want to do. They know exactly what you're attempting to do. They know where you're trying to go and all. So there is a chance that his warlord trait does almost nothing for you the entire game. That's always possible. You don't have to meet each other. And your opponent could actively keep away. But at least it fits a very good theme, at least. Even if it doesn't do much for you, it does mean that you might be able to do more to other parts of your opponent's army because your opponent isn't wanting to put their big beefy character into him, especially if he gets that charge.
Yeah.
Because he'll double out just about anything.
I mean, keep away is going to be hard with a Warhawk jump pack. And then running on top
it of it. But so survivability then starts going down if you're rushing across the board in Warhawk jump packs.
True.
You know, you have good survivability in that way. You have a two up. So those are the Palatine Blade Aquilae squad. 195 points for five of them. They're on their two wound, two up save. So you do need something chunky to take them down, but they naturally don't have an invul save by looking at it.
They have the power spears, I forgot which one is the better one, the power spear or the power rapier.
Charnable weapons they have.
No, but I'm saying you'd probably replace it with a power spear or a phoenix rapier.
Yeah, ideally you definitely would. Are they able to take all of that? Because is there any difference between these guys? Yeah, for 5 points you'd take a phoenix rapier.
Yeah, it's this squad is absolutely going to blender through some they'll blender through anything because at initiative Thunderhammer is going to someone very because remember they're chosen warriors, so if someone challenges you, Idolog can be like, oh, I'm good, send one of the Palatines in, and then he Thunderhammers someone at initiative six, or technically Thunderhammers six people at initiative six. He's just the definition of just a really cool like baseline A model. I want to say he's auto take, like ask, like tell your buddy, but he's like a baseline A, solid A model for me. Good warlord, excellent warlord trait, excellent mobility, excellent melee. I mean, I guess he doesn't have a great shot, but
put him in a unit, and now that unit's at plus one to hit against that rival. Yeah.
You could mostly, I mean, what are Palatine Bloods? Weapon skill five? So you will. Sure, see, so most things are weapon skill five that, like, most elite squads, unless you get like into the crazy shit like Dark Angels, are weapon skill five. So normally you'd be hitting that squad on fours, and he goes, nah, we're hitting them on threes. That's massive.
And they're hitting you on fives, the first round at least.
Oh, yeah, because the Sonic Shriekers. Yeah, this guy is nuts.
What do you think, Steve?
I might even put S.
I don't think he bends the game in half, but he is pretty strong, especially considering the number of units you can attach him to. Like, if you don't get him a command squad, he can go so many different units and just buff whatever needs that buff to kill the enemy warlord. He's a really solid A.
Can you put them in Sun Killers and give them plus one to hit? So now all their last cannons are hitting on twos, ignoring cover.
They hit on
twos. They already hit on twos, ignoring cover already.
Okay. I didn't know if they hit on twos. Okay.
Yes. Sun Killers or Ballista Skill 5.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to basically make a second Sun Killer squad with him or put him in Volkite. Oh, well, Sun Killers take Volkites, don't they? You always get them last cannon, so they could take
You didn't say the word last cannon. I don't care what they're allowed. They take last cannons.
Yeah.
You're right. You could actually, if you want your opponents to hate you enough, you essentially could use him to make another very specific Sun Killer squad. Because that bonus is only going to apply against the Warlord unit, but you can smoke that unit, and then you still got a bunch of last cannons, which are really good.
Smoke the Warlord, leave, join another squad. That's fine.
Yeah. Then go join you have a jump pack, go join a Palatine Blades. Even if those blades are not the jump pack variety, maybe they're in a transport, you can catch up just as fast. Jump into them, say, with turn three, charge something. So are we thinking A, or do we want
to think like better? Either bottom of S or very top of A.
We don't have bottom. That's not a thing.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
You're in or out. No fence sitting.
You suck. I'm going to say A, and then maybe move him to S a little bit later.
All right.
In case we need to.
Coward.
He's a let your opponent know kind of thing, but he doesn't break the game in half.
All right. Probably to me, because he only really hurts the Warlord extra, that's probably why to me, because like getting Sonic Shriekers, other people can get that. Add Initiative Thunderhammer is very cool, don't get me wrong. But like his extra, like super on top great bonus is against one particular unit.
Yeah.
And there's a chance you don't ever face that unit, or you don't get to do much against that unit for a variety of reasons. So I think A is fine for now. All right, that puts it to Steve for Saul Tarvitz.
Captain Saul Tarvitz, Dave. Hey. He got that rank.
Well, yeah, before he didn't turn traitor. Who knows what rank he has now? Probably not.
Oh, he's loyal. Fancy. Saul was loyalist.
Yeah, and then when they changed...
No, he stayed loyalist, didn't he?
I know, but I'm saying, like, so when your legion goes...
Got it.
You can say you were a captain before, but you're a captain of a legion that's effectively...
I thought you were just saying he was a traitor. I'm thinking to myself, like, wait
No.
I'm saying, misremembering?
To his legion, he is the traitor, because he didn't follow the Primarch.
Okay. Yeah, I was having a moment that I was like, wait a minute, did he actually...
We're going about it like that argument, like, from my perspective, the Jedi are evil.
Exactly.
All right, Steve, is your internet strong enough to be able to do this? I noticed your response saying that your internet was garbage.
Yeah, it's exceptionally touchy today.
It's page 457.
I know where I am. I have it open. It's just sound wise, I lose you guys here and there.
Okay. All right.
So, Saul Tarvitz, 155 points. You know, you got a Praetor stat line, pretty standard Praetor stat line. A bolt pistol, a fancy broadsword, a very fancy Nemesis bolter, Arvisor armor, Iron Halo, standard grenade suite. You'd be master of the Legion, main character, relentless, preferred enemy, Emperor's children, traitor. Oh wait, he is a brother betrayed, and he's a loyalist with a special warlord trait. That's all for him. All right, so that warlord trait. Oh, this is the weird
captain. Yep.
This is the cool one. I love this one.
Okay.
I love this one.
So, if he's your warlord, at the start of each of your turns, you check to see if any of these things are true. If you have less victory points than the enemy, if you have less units than the enemy, if Captain Saul Tarvitz is within six of an objective, or a unit he's joined and locked in combat with more than one enemy unit, or a single enemy that outnumbers Captain Saul Tarvitz's unit, if any of those things are true, then Captain Saul Tarvitz and any friendly units with at least 1 mile and 12 gain the Fearless special rule. In addition, you get an extra shooting phase reaction. Very defiant. Fearless.
If you're not winning, you're fearless.
Yeah.
There's a variety of ways to win, but if you're not winning in every way imaginable, you are fearless.
I mean, if you build into it and just have the least possible units, that could work.
I do like it for like events, because events are very progressive scoring. Almost every Heresy event is progressive scoring. So I do like it for that kind of progressive scoring event.
No, here's what you do. You want it in a scenario where it's end of game scoring, but First Blood's a secondary. Throw a Rhino in front to blow up. Bam, they have more victory points. Be fearless the rest of the game.
And here I was going to say, you want progressive scoring for this to help you, slash you just want progressive scoring anyway, because it's a better way to play the game.
It's true. Anyway, yeah, I was going to say, also true.
Yeah. All right, so Brother Betrayed. So we get Captain Saltarvitz gets plus one weapon skill, plus one strength, and plus one toughness while locked in combat with any enemy model that has both independent character and Emperor's Children, and any unit that Smallitz joined. If an enemy model that's Emperor's Children is removed as casualty while locked in combat with Saltarvitz, you get an extra victory point.
Yep.
It's two victory points instead if you slay Captain Lucius in a challenge.
I say in a challenge, yeah.
That is...
In the observatory with a candlestick. Those are
the kinds of rules I love and wish we had more of.
It's fun. It is in no way good, but it is very much fun.
Look, man, you're going to win the mirror match, right? That's all that matters.
I don't know if I'd even go that far. He's fun in the mirror match. I do not. Yeah. I would not say in any way that he wins the mirror match.
I mean, plus some weapon skill, strength, and toughness. Those are some nice buffs.
That's in a 3,000 point game. That one particular model being a little bit better is very nice. There also, he could have taken a last cannon straight to his face already, or a variety of other things. So. I don't think he suddenly makes you win the mirror.
But in the mirror match, you could tank a power fist to the face.
You can.
Yes.
You're right. He will take a power fist to the face. But what is he going to swing back with?
Well, he'll swing back with his charnable broadsword. He gives him plus two strength and has no base AP because it has a charnable blade, but it's rending on a 4+ and has duelist's edge 2, so he will be swinging at a mighty initiative 7. If he's in a challenge, just 8 if he charged and is in a challenge. That's fast. It's also mastercrafted and unfortunately two-handed. Rending 4+ is cool. I mean, you're going to wound Marines on 4s anyway.
No, you'd be wounding on Marines on 2s otherwise. It's strength plus 2 weapon.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter. It's rending 4+. Who cares?
Dreadnoughts on 4s.
It's rending 4+. Who that? Yeah. It's Primarchs AP dash
on 4s.
I mean, surprise, surprise! A fighty character has a good fighting weapon. That's good. Don't get me wrong. No, that's a good thing. But
he's a not shooting surprised. Character because he has a Nemesis Bolter, so he could just 360 no scope from across the map. It's a rerollable 2+ to hit.
I hate that meme much. Because I used to play Counter-Strike, and that meme always brings up my Counter-Strike days every time.
All right. So where do we feel for this guy?
B. He's fluffy. He doesn't hurt you for taking him. Because he's not that expensive compared to a generic Praetor, honestly.
No, he's not some much cool, more.
Unique stuff. He's not like ridiculously unique. I'd say he's like a B. You're not getting hurt with him.
120 for a generic Praetor, cool but stuff. Without the cool weapon. So he's probably about that price when you put a good weapon on a Praetor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say he's solid B.
I was gonna say C only because his one rule doesn't do anything, but I see B. As well, like it's just the one rule that says, oh, if you have like,
but while you have that going for you, fearless is such a big deal.
It is that's what I was gonna say. That's why I go back and forth because fearless is absolutely disgusting.
So it's very mission dependent, is what you're saying.
Yes. So I'll say B, possibly C.
If we assumed for a moment, so I will put this way. I think he probably gets to B now because of what the game is now. when we first talked about him, when the game was first out, okay, if you're not the mirror match, one of his rules is absolutely useless. It's very cool and fun and fluffy, but absolute garbage. So I don't care about that in terms of ranking him for a higher level, saying he's good. When I looked at his Warlord trait, it is much better now than it was before, because when this game first came out, there was many missions that really didn't have much in terms of objectives or no progressive scoring and all things like that. So you might not have been able to get his Warlord trait to go off nearly as easily as you do now, because now we do have and a lot of missions I play, a good amount of objectives or some objective play. You have progressive type scoring, so you have some victory points along the way. Otherwise, it was the other ones you were looking for, and you can't control those. So
exactly.
I'm fine with putting him in B now, because I do think he is better than he used to be, because now there actually is, you know, missions that will fit this more. If it wasn't for that, if you are just playing like main core book missions, no, this dude is fluff only. He's a level down, because you're just not going to get his rules nearly as much. You're already probably not getting one of his rules unless you are somewhere where your friends are playing Emperor's Children, or you're in an event and you call out the other Emperor's Children player and you Spider-Man point at each other for a while. So neat though, but yeah. Probably what helps him the most is how cheap he is. At 155, he's actually not really more. You know, for 30 extra points, I would give potentially that weapon to my guy. So, all right. Are we happy with this placement then?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm with it. And shooting phase reactions are nice. So, yeah.
Yes. Those are always strong, especially in an army that can take Sun Killers. All right, we have one more for this particular legion then, and that is Lucius, who later becomes Lucius the Eternal, who, if you defeat him in combat, and in any way you are happy about having done that, you will turn into him, which is just weird and nutty. But he's 250 points, so he is more expensive. He's mostly Praetor-type stat line, although he is weapon skill 7, so he does have the better weapon skill. Makes sense for who he's supposed to be. Yeah, initiative 6, the 4 attack. So otherwise, he's pretty much the same. He has a bolt pistol. He has some special war gear, of course. He has artificer armor, iron halo. So he's a 2-up, 4-up with frag and crack grenades. His things that you would expect him to have is he has relentless, master legion, all that kind of stuff. He has preferred enemy for independent characters. He has precision strikes on a 3-up. So he's choosing who he hits in close combat on 3s, which is most likely what he's hitting on. he's stubborn. And then he has a court. He's obviously a traitor, and he has some special things. Now, for 10 points, you can put Sonic Shriekers on him. Yes. Sonic Shriekers making your opponent either charge or on the charge -1. He's better weapon skill than most things. Obviously, there's some special characters who made his weapon skill, and there's some Primarchs who are his or better. But against almost everything else you're facing, he's better, which means if I'm better and say sort out challenge for environment on 5s, -1 for Shriekers, you're hitting me on 6s, and I'm hitting you on 3s. So, and he may go down in points if he takes the Blade of the Air, which we'll get into. So, his Warlord trait is a blade alone. If he has this Warlord trait, then no other models or units may use his leadership, regardless of any other rules or war gear that unit may have. However, whenever when Captain Lucius is engaged in the challenge, all friendly models in the same combat gain Fearless special rule. So no one can use his leadership for any reason, which means now his leadership is 10. So that means if he's in a unit, you don't get to choose his leadership. However, if he's in a challenge, everyone else is automatically Fearless. And the first reaction made in each game turn by him and his unit does not take up a reaction slot. Or a reaction allotment, I should say.
That is terrible. That's just a worse version of the Legion Champion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. You don't get to use his leadership. So at times when it'd be advantageous to do it, you don't get it at all. And if you're in a challenge, he wants to be in a challenge. Makes sense. And you're going to be challenging with this guy anyway, and then they're fearless. But if you don't win out in that combat, now you're at a potentially much lower leadership. He at least is stubborn. Does stubborn confer? No. Yes. Stubborn does confer. Yes. Inexorable does not. Stubborn does. All right. So he's at least stubborn, but you won't be stubborn 10 necessarily. You might be stubborn like 8, maybe 9, but you might be stubborn 8 because you don't get to use his leadership. All right.
I can't wait to pin his squad with some shrapnel bolters.
Depending on what he's with, yeah. I mean, so what are Palantine blades for leadership? Probably
have to be 10.
9? But no, almost nothing in this game is 10. 10 is super, really? Super rare. Special ultra characters are like 10s. Most other things are like 7, 8, and 9. So remember, they're an elite unit. That's why they're 8/9 for the leader. That's actually really, really good leadership in this. Remember, it's not a custode. When fighting in a challenge, if his initiative characteristic is higher than his opponent, then he gets an extra attack. So he's natural on 4 attacks. If his initiative 6/7 on the charge is better, boom, getting 5 attacks instead.
No, he's not just 7. He strikes 1 point faster.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Yeah, his initiative characteristic isn't still better. He just gets to go 1 step earlier.
Zender Praetor's initiative 5, so our most named one. So that, it's almost guaranteed unless he's fighting a Primarch.
Yeah. All right, so the base web he comes with is the 19. And then he can downgrade himself to the Blade of the Air for less points. So for the 19, it's a melee rending on a 3-up. Keep in mind he's precision strikes on a 3-up. It's Duelist Aegis 1, or Aegis 1. Murder Strike on a 6 and Mastercrafted. The Duelist Aegis, a model to special rule, gains a bonus to their weapon skill equal to the value in brackets listed if it's in a challenge. So the Aegis 1 means your weapon skill goes up by 1. That puts them then at weapon skill 8 if you're in a challenge. So now you actually are matching Primarchs, or matching a good amount of Primarchs.
He's dueling squad sergeants on 2-ups.
Yes. And they're hitting him on 6s. There's even some Primarchs. No, their stats. No, they'll still take the -1 to hit because that's not a change to your stat. Primarchs would be affected by Sonic Shriekers, yes, because their stats can't be reduced, but their stat is not being reduced, just their to hit number.
Yeah.
So you have a bunch of Primarchs that are hitting you on like 5s. I'm not saying he's going to stand up to the weapons the Primarchs are swinging, but they're not hitting him easily, at least. If you want to downgrade him, if you want to save yourself, 40 points, you could remove that weapon and put the Blade of the Air, which is his strength, AP 2, melee, it's Duelist Edge 1, so a little bit faster. Fleshbane, so you're just going to wound on 2s anyway, Specialist Weapon and Mastercrafted. If you're taking this guy, I don't know. I wouldn't want to downgrade the other weapon. No.
Okay. So you always have 19. The choice is between Blade of the Lair and a generic combat weapon.
Oh, my apologies. I read that entirely backwards. You may exchange the Blade of the Air for a close combat weapon. Oh, okay. So the Blade of the Air, they're putting at 40 points?
I mean, AP 2 wounds on 2s is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. My apologies, I said that backwards. Yeah, if you not do swap to the weapon, you swap that weapon out. Yeah, if you're going against something that you need the AP 2 for.
See, against Dreadnought, it's 25.
Though, I mean, the biggest problem the other weapon has is it doesn't up his strength because it's rending on a 3, so it'd be doing the same thing on 3s instead of 2s. But exactly. Since neither weapon ups his strength, there's a chance he's... Oh, no, even with rending, he'll auto. So, you know, like, the difference is 1 pip on a die. That's it. Because the rending is going to wound, and it's going to be AP 2 anyway. It's not like his strength is coming into play with the other weapon, actually, thinking about it. We don't care about his strength. The rending in certain ways, in certain circumstances, is better because if you're having to fight a Dread, the Fleshbane, you're having to reroll. Needing
the math works out to be almost the same. Almost.
It is very similar. It is actually a little bit better, but not by much.
36 versus 24 out of 36.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is similar. Just to me, I actually probably would downgrade that weapon just to save the 40 points, take the 10 points. So now I'm saving 30 because I'm going to put Sonic Shriekers on this boy no matter what. And those 30 points will let me afford something else. I don't feel I need that other weapon. You know, the difference of one pip on that, I'd rather... So if you don't take it, you're probably hitting most things on threes. If you use the other weapon, especially in challenges, there's some cases where you're going to be hitting on twos. Like I said, even if not, threes and threes, I'm fine with that compared to threes and twos. Or being able to save quite a few points. I don't know. That's me, though. As I do apologize for reading that wrong at first. I thought he swapped his weapon. No, he just gets rid of that one.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing is... Oh, yeah. And actually, if he does swap it out, I get an extra attack. Because the 19 isn't specialist.
Oh, they're right.
Oh, shit.
The Blade of the Air is specialist, so no extra attack. If you just take his one weapon, he's base five attacks. Yeah. And his initiative is higher, so plus another one for Supreme Duelist, he's going to be six attacks. Yep, swapping that weapon out.
A random old rusted combat blade for the win.
Yeah. Yeah, here's my little dagger. I'm that much better now. Yeah. That feels like a weird choice. Don't get me wrong, the other weapon is really good on almost anyone else. I'd pay 30, 40 points for that weapon on just about anyone other than him. So, swap it out. He's amazing now. He's super, super good. Where do we want him, though? Oh. Might he be the first character that goes to the top? We know someone has to get there by the end of all this. Not by tonight, but by the time we get through every character. Some people have to be up there. So, I'm looking at him as 185 points. You're going to be hitting him probably on sixes, maybe fives the first round, otherwise probably on sixes. If he's not in a challenge, his downside is the fearless thing, but if I don't take the challenge and someone else takes the challenge for me, precision strike, I'll take out your sergeant, I'll take out anything else that you have in that unit. I'll call shots onto whatever I want and just cleave half your unit away from you. And there's a chance on a six you get murderous strike as well. That I just take you out. Because I'm probably rending you on a three. Oh, he had a bolt pistol with the 19 anyway. So he actually had it either way.
Yeah.
But Blade of the Air, he was never getting the extra four anyway. I don't know. He's at least A. I almost kind of want to put him higher, but I might change my mind later. Oh, I forgot. He has preferred enemy and independent characters.
Which is just hilarious.
Yeah. I said, he legitimately...
He's already mastercrafted, so it just gives him reroll ones to wound.
Yes.
Which is great, but like that's...
I mean, he's the type of character where if he gets lucky, he could take a Primarch down. He needs to get lucky in terms of depending on the weapon that they're swinging at him, because his survivability isn't like the most amazing, other than he's very, very hard to hit, especially that first round. But he can absolutely, with all of his abilities, like cut down a Primarch. So I'm for the moment putting him at the top, but I don't know if people have stronger feelings. Otherwise, if people know someone in the future that might compete. I don't know anyone else who's competing for the top spots right now.
For now, anyway.
Only reason he's not top is because the Warlord trait is kind of
garbage.
Trash. Yeah.
The Warlord trait garbage. Is really good for a round. The problem is protracted combat. The first round, he's challenging anyway. And then you're fearless. It's what happens in the future rounds if you had to stick it out. And, all right. All right, I'll put him in. We'll put him in A for now, but someone's got to go up there, and I do think by the end of it, he might be the one who does. We'll see, though. All right. We have three for Iron Warrior, so maybe we'll try to go through those, and that's maybe as far as we'll end up getting tonight then. All of these were out of the legacies, which means you tend to be a little bit shorter, mostly. Steve, you do Iron Warriors. Which one do you want?
Well, you see, here's the thing, right?
Oh, no.
So we're not counting the Tormentor as a character, right?
No, no. Stop that.
Does it have the rule character?
No. Well,
neither did no, Rhaldanor. I didn't think it did.
Yeah, neither did Rhaldanor.
Okay, God, but he is someone who is special and named and like was a living being.
Okay.
Is the Tormentor a living being?
Spoiler, really.
It's kind of machine spirit.
About the Iron Warriors. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're not traitor locked. As a matter of fact, they're the only one that's. There are two loyalist locked ones and one that's not even locked traitor. Even though one of them was known to fight on the traitor side for half the war. So it's. I have no love for any of these sons. They've all disappointed me.
Ooh.
Do you tend to run traitor, yes?
Yeah.
Always.
All right. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the only one who could be theoretically on your traitor side then?
Sure. Okay. He's a big letdown.
Is that Golg?
Yeah, it's Golg. Yep.
Inside and outside of the lore. So not getting into what he did last edition, but he did cool stuff. Let you do some cool army builds last edition because he had a fifth edition style character thing that made Terminator's troops scoring. It was really cool, right? Doesn't do that anymore. So Razzus Golg, 175 points. He is a Terminator Praetor. He has a Kavi Velta. He has a fancy melee weapon called Extricator. He's a cataphractic armor. He has an Anuncio box and an augury scanner. He's heavy because he's in cataphractic armor. He's an Iron Warrior with Master of the Legion, independent character, relentless, stubborn, bulky 2, Hammer of Wrath 2. So real stubborn is good. Hammer of Wrath it's neat that he gets it. He's locked into the Warlord trait, Bloody Handed, which is the one that gives you +1 combat res and a bonus melee, charge phase reaction.
Yeah.
And his fancy melee weapon is Extricator. It's a chain type weapon. Okay. Strength 10, AP 2, melee, armor bane melee, mastercrafted, unwieldy. It's just a strength 10 chain fist. That's mastercrafted, which is cool. I'm glad he has it. But that's all it is.
And it's his. He has a Kami Melta, which is nice. I mean, that one sword shot. But it's his only melee weapon, so you're never going to worry about his initiative is meaningless for many intents and purposes, because he's just going to go last.
Yep.
Like a character who has a good weapon should always be true. The weapons may change a little bit, but oh, he's got a nice weapon. And they all should. You know, he's a special space marine character.
He has a Nuncio box and an augury scanner, so his Terminator squad can intercept for free,
which is like the worst
for artillery,
which is like not the thing that you want to be intercepting. The Nuncio Vox part's good. I mean, yeah, your augury. Oh, my combi bolters get the fire at your thing.
Ooh, his leadership won't be penalized for night fighting, but it also wasn't already because he has stubborn. Okay, so what you do with him is put him in a squad of Siege Tyrants, because Siege Tyrants are really good. And on average, you'll have an okay points investment.
So why would you want him with Siege Tyrants? What's he doing for them?
All he does is he has an augury scanner, so he can intercept for free.
Because he just gives them scanner.
But I'm pretty sure they could just take an augury scanner as just a weapons choice. Let me see if I can find
The Siege Master has the Omniscope.
Which does that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason to take him. There really isn't.
Yeah.
I guess he kills custodies. if he lives long enough to swing. Yay. I guess.
It's a big if, though, living that long.
If, yeah. So his model was never made. He didn't even get a model. He was the guy at the Battle of Fall that was in charge of the fleet and screwed up so bad that Pertorov was like, you know what? I'm done with people. I'm building robots. Don't talk to me. Not so much this guy dropped the ball.
He made him choose to go automation.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's nothing special about him. He has some war gear that you might be able to get anyway. He has some war gear for the units you want to put him in that they don't really need because they already have it. He's lacking the thing that makes him seem cool. Where do you want to put this fallen son?
C.
C?
Maybe D.
I'd say D.
I don't know if he's actively hurting you for taking him, so I wouldn't say D. But he's a C.
All right.
Now, someone come in the comments like, oh my God, how could you say that? Golg is my boy ever since, you know, the Betrayal of Kalth box set dropped. And we got that sweet Cataphracti Praetor model. I've been repping him, and he's so... Nah. He's a C.
Yeah, he's...
Unless he's like, you know, a 5-point upgrade on a Cataphracti Praetor, which he's not.
No, and again, like, his weapon's really nice, but when you swing last, especially on your character, I always get a little bit more concerned. You know, the rest of the unit going early, but if that swings last, if the opponent is swinging earlier, I might lose him or a lot of my other models in that unit. Like, you know, this guy wouldn't want to, this unit doesn't want to see a Contemptor there because, yeah, his weapon's good against a Contemptor. But you're swinging later. I'm going to put a whole bunch of wounds into your unit. If you put any of these on him, fail one, you're gone. So, yeah, C is fine. All right. Are these other ones going to be better, Steve? Or we're going to be happier with these? It's been so long since I've looked at some of these people. I don't remember all their details.
Oh, Dave. I'm sorry, Dave.
That's all right. I
can't do that.
That's all right. My day's been going pretty good. I can have a lull here. That's all right. Dan, why don't you talk about the next one?
Yeah, I'll do the next one. So this would be Kier? I think it's Kier.
Kier Van Halen. He's a great rocker of the
80s. Are we not going in order?
That's the order we have in our document.
In the book, yeah.
Oh my God, I hate your document.
Continue. Is it Narik Draeger that's next? I'll do Narik.
In the PDFs, yeah.
Oh, I'll do Narik then. All right, it's fine. I'll do Narik, it's fine. So Narik Draeger. 130. Oh, jeez, it's cheap as shit. Oh my God. 135 points. Woman 7. He looks Centurion status.
He is.
Centurion.
He's got an extra wound, though. Yeah, plus a wound. So 5, 5, 4, 4, 3 wounds. Initiative 5, 3 attacks, issue 9, 2 up save. He's heavy. So he's got a Graviton Gauntlet, which I believe it's special. Artificer armor, refractor field, so 5 up in bulk. Frag crack. Ooh, he's got a cortex controller. So he's got a cortex controller and a cortex designator. Okay, we'll get back to that later. I might like this guy then. He's Legionis Cybernetica and Legionis Astartes. Okay, he's the master of automata, the revenant's pawn, and he has stoic defender. I don't know what that does. That's, I think that's a main rulebook one.
That's the one that gives your squad pinning on all shooting attacks and a bonus shooting phase reaction.
Oh my God.
It's a generic one.
No, but pinning. Okay, hold on. Hold on. So cortex, of course, so cortex control allows him to join automata. That's because that's Mechanicum. Cortex designator. When rolling a hit for a model with the automata unit type as part of the shooting attack, add plus one to the result of the role of the enemy unit targeted by the attack has already been the target of another friendly model with the special rule in the same shooting phase, and the attacking model is within 6 inches of that friendly model. So this does not affect attacks with a blast or barrage, which automatas don't have. I mean, Thanatars would do that. All right, so plus one a hit. Normally, mechanic units hit on threes, hitting on twos. All right, I'm thinking of some nasty shit. Give me a second. I'll come back to this. All right, so in melee, he's got a Graviton Gauntlet. It's melee, unwieldy, specials weapon. It is haywire. Yep. Strength 8, AP. So it's a power fist, but with Haywire. So wait a minute. Does Haywire overrule hitting the Dreadnought then?
Yes. It replaces normal wound rolls.
Okay. Doesn't double up. And then the Revenant's Pawn, when including an allied detachment. Okay, nice. That is part of any army detachment whose warlord is either Cassian, Dracos Reborn, or Xyphus Jur. The allied detachment that Nerik Jagar is part of may include a unit of Legion veterans with Legion Astartes, Iron War special rule that does not use up the Force Org chart. And does not, so basically it's a free veteran. Nerik Jagar gains +1 attack and stubborn if he's within 12 inches of Cassian Dracos. All right. Oh, wait, but you can't ally. Hold on. Can you ally?
What do you
mean? So, wait, how is he going to get automata? How is he going to join?
Remember, automata? One of the FAQs they put talked about the fact that you can take extra bits.
Okay.
Multiple detachments. But there we go. Okay. You're forgetting that Iron Warriors have their own robots, the Iron Circle. And you could take Master of Automata, lets you take a unit of Vorax or Castellans.
So I was thinking Castellans. First of all, Iron Circle's disgusting with him. But their boulders already pinned, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, their molar pin.
So hold on. Let me cook. You take him with Castellans, right? With Flamers and Darkfire Cannons. Now these Darkfire Cannons, which are strength 7, AP 2, two shots, gets hot, blind. And Lance, so it treats enemy front ends as armor 12, essentially, right? But strength 7 AP 2 is a big thing. Now they're going from hitting on threes to hitting on twos, right? So squad of six is going to put out 12 shots hitting on twos. That's strength 7 AP 2 with blind or Lance, whatever. On top of that, he can, what was the other thing he was going to do? Honestly, that was really the biggest thing. Oh, and then the Flamers. Those Darkfires can pin. And then they have Flamers. So let's say someone's charging you. You can overwatch them with 12d6 Flamers that also pin. Ish.
D3, not
D6.
But yeah.
D3. I was thinking, sorry.
You think Salamanders?
Salamanders.
So him being Legius Cybernetica, what does that do for him?
That's rule lets him take the Vorax or Castellan squad in the slot.
Got it.
It's the rule from the Pravian.
Yeah. Oddly enough, because I checked, I wouldn't show the update. They don't count him as a Pravian or anything like that. The guy I'm going to talk about here does actually count as something, as a Warsmith. He doesn't actually count as a Pravian.
That's okay though, because he has the rules he needs to function as one.
Yeah, it just means if there was a reason you needed to take a Pravian, you'd have to take that. You could take him, and you'd have to take that as well. That's the only reason why I like when they do that, because it means if you ever put something in that requires it, but they probably just don't have anything that requires it. All right. So where do we want this man? This broken man who was essentially turned almost into Autonoma himself.
C or B?
Gameplay wise, he's pretty solid.
Yeah. I'm not going to call him game breaking. I mean, he could probably get big game breaking if you add like six Castellans with Darkfires or Iron Circle. Wait, does the +1 a hit? He's only in shooting? As part of shooting. Okay, yes. Okay. I was going to say, is that +1 a hit like always? No, that's only in shooting. Thank God. Imagine Iron Circle with +1 a hit in melee. I'd put him B. Possibly C. But B. I don't know. What do you guys think? Definitely not C.
He's good.
No, because he's really good with the Castellax. That's why I'm saying
he's good probably. For the points. Because a normal Pravian's how many points? Upgrade plus base Centurion?
Probably close to that. Actually, I have Battlescribe open. So base Centurion is 60. And if I take him as a Pravian, an extra 35. So 95. So he's about 40 extra points.
But he gets a Power Fist, which is like a 15-point upgrade. A cool Power Fist.
Yeah.
So we'll call it 20 points.
to give +1 for all of that. At the end, it's probably worth it. He's not amazing, but you won't feel bad if you take this guy if you want to take those things and you just like who he is. So I think B is
he's good. Fine. He's good.
And if you've like taken the army in a very particular way, like I said, with Cassian Dracos or something like that, hey, then you get an extra special rule as well. He's fluffy but decent. That's what B is. All right, we got one more character we're going to do tonight. Like I said, we're keeping this one somewhat short. We started a little bit late, but hey, we got through two legions. We'll get through more either next week or whenever we do this particular thing again. So here's Kier Vahalen, maybe. I said Van Halen before, but it is actually missing like two letters, but it's almost Van Halen. That's all right. Probably just call him that anyway. He's 195 points. Taking a look, we are looking at Praetor stat line. Makes sense. He's Praetor. So he has a Volkite Charger. Two up, four up, obviously. Frag and Kraken. He also comes with Melta Bombs, Servo Arm, and a Cortex Controller. So he's a guy with another Cortex Controller. He is going to count as a Warsmith for anything where that's needed. He's obviously Master of the Legion. He's Master Automa. A Battle Hardened 1, so much harder to double out. Battlesmith 3 up. He's got 6 plus Feel No Pain, so he's got a little bit of that. And hey, he's more loyalist for this very, very loyal chapter. Oh, sorry, Legion. All right. For his special rules, he has his Warlord trait, Battle Logistician. So when you select it, before deployment and before any models are placed on the board, the controller player may select a single unit of any type that begins the game deployed on the table, while all models that are part of the selected unit are within the controlling player's deployment zone. This unit gains the Relentless special rule. In addition, an army whose Warlord trait has this one gets an additional reaction in the movement phase. I'm not huge on the movement phase reaction, but you get to pick one unit before the game begins, and if they're in your deployment zone, they're relentless.
As a Death Guard player, how much do you like having relentless?
Yeah. All my heavy weapons, I can't imagine using them any other way. I can now hide behind a building where you can't see me, and then I walk forward with last cannons or meltas or whatever weapon I want to go with.
Yeah.
But it gives you such viability. You don't have to be set up in the good spot. You can move to it. Or, oh, they have a weapon that I'm worried about. I can stand back here and I'm out of range. And then I'll walk into range and take those shots. Yeah, you can reaction back at me, but I can make sure you don't get all of your good bonuses or that you're not in the advantage to that. His other thing is his weapon, the Aegis. It's strength +2, so essentially strength 6, AP 3, melee, breaching on a 4, blind and mastercrafted. The breaching on a 4 helps with the fact that it's only AP 3. He's probably wounding on 2s, but a good amount of your attacks at least will be at AP 2.
And blind is really good.
Blind is fine. You have to fail it. If you don't fail it, don't do you any good. Not that.
I just realized something. Damn it. I don't have my Mechanicum book in front of me, do I? I have it on iBooks. I don't know if does Cortex Controller or Master of Automata allow him to get not get picked out? Whatever. That's a different I'm going crazy. It's late at night. I'm going crazy.
All right. So he's got the better stat line, but is like a Warsmith Centurion. But like I said, better stats in general. The Battlesmith on a 3 is very nice. Doesn't get any... he gets a servo arm instead of the full harness, but he does have the arm.
He Battlesmith's on a 2 up. I think the servo arm actually adds to the Battlesmith. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
That I can pull up real quick. I can't remember if servo arm still adds. Yeah, pull it up, please, because
I don't... Honestly, I don't take Warsmiths.
I haven't played Cybernetica. I've played Myrmidon, so I haven't played Cybernetica in fucking minute.
It's been a long time since I've the Volkite Charger, I don't really care too much about. Melta Bombs is nice. That's absolutely going to help you in many, many cases. The way Steve talked about it, these characters sounded like they're going to be really bad. This guy's actually pretty good. He's just expensive. He's almost 200 points. He gives you a lot of things. You know
he's...
what, though?
Ex- bent.
He is. But
and a relentless lock, heavy, which is all right, like 10 points down.
Plus two to the repair roll.
Okay, so he's repairing on twos.
Yep. That's actually not bad if he's with his automata buddies.
Which he shouldn't have.
Why not?
The other thing is, his warlord trait, he doesn't have to be in the unit. He just picks a unit. So, to me alone, giving your heavy weapon unit relentless, because that's the way I'm seeing it, one of your heavy weapons units relentless if they're in your deployment zone, most heavy weapons are going to be able to fire out and hit the opponent from your deployment zone.
Yeah.
That's worth some points alone to me. As a Death Guard player, I'd be willing to spend points in my if I play other factions to put Relentless on those guys.
Yeah.
Because it is amazing. I don't know. He's to me, he's probably sitting in the middle.
I'd say A, actually.
You think A? What's only putting because, him to A for you?
Only because he can join Automata if he okay. wants to. So put him in Iron Circle and put him with Castellac. So you get that. Again, you get the Dark Fires. If you fires, put him with
Iron
you...
Circle, I have words for you.
Bad words are good words.
Made by Perdorado.
Oh, yeah, because it's...
After the Battle of Fall.
Yeah.
They Luff should words. Not be allowed Luff in words. A Loyalist army.
But are they Loyalist locked? Or traitor locked?
Only in Steve's fan.
Varric Draeger. Started the heresy firmly traitor. It was until the siege of Mezoa that he changed sides. The and temptation, no one really knows why.
The temptation to do it just to see Steve like mentally explode. No, but okay. Don't put it with the Iron Circle for fluff reasons. Or put it with Iron Circle because it's good. Or put it with Castellax. And then he doesn't have... Because the thing was, I was like, oh, he's going to give them
if you want Relentless. Castellax, who gives a shit, right? Take a Rite of War to unlock them.
Oh.
Or a Pravian.
Okay. But still, I was more worried, like, oh, Relentless old doesn't want to affect him, so his warlord trait's useless. But as Dave pointed out, he can hand Relentless to someone else.
Wait, so none of his rules let him take the Castellax? He just allowed to go with them because a Master of Autonoma?
Automata? Correct.
The Cortex controller allows him, actually.
All right, so then he can just take him. All right, so he doesn't need anyone extra?
No, he doesn't need him. No. The Cortex controller allows him to join the unit.
Master of Automata allows him to join. The Cortex controller allows them to ignore program behavior.
Ah, that's what it is. Yes.
So, but base, there's nothing that actually allows him to take them is the problem.
No.
Okay.
No, he's got to take
every warsmith has those rules, though, as part of being a warsmith.
Okay. All right, so... Dan's thinking B. Where are you thinking, Steve?
I'm thinking A.
He's thinking A.
I'm thinking B. He's expensive for the points. He's locked to the loyalists. And, I mean, yes, Relentless is really nice. You could do a lot of cool stuff with the Relentless. But there are also so many... It's terrain dependent. How about that?
No, I'll give you that. I'm coming at from the perspective of the tables that I tend to play on or have seen. Also, you know, realizing now that this guy can do stuff with robots, but doesn't naturally have the access to the robots unless you're destroying all of Steve's hopes and dreams by taking Iron Warrior robots. That does lower it a bit. Like I said, he is very expensive. So I'm fine at B. I do think that is fine. I would put him at A if he was any bit cheaper. But I'm fine with B because, yeah, what he does is pretty cool, but he is very, very expensive to do it. At almost, essentially, 200 points, that's a lot. Like I said, if you want to take Castellax or something like that with him, now you're having to get a Pravian as well. Now you're having to invest, you know, another about 100 points or so
to be able to do so. You could do the same thing, not be stuck in a deployment zone, and it's only a 60-point tax instead of a 200-point tax. 160-point tax. It's called 10-man tactical squad and a centurion, allied Death Guard detachment.
You wouldn't be able to... Are they to a level where you're allowed to join?
He doesn't have to join. I'm saying you get the same effect as from his Warlord trait for 35 points less, and you get 10 Bolter Marines on top.
Oh, you're just saying take a Death Guard heavy support unit?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, okay. That's very true. Yeah, if you really want it just for one unit, you could get, you know, some attack squad that is essentially relentless. You get your character, and now you can take your heavy option there too. Yeah, so I mean that does work. What level are they to each other? Does anyone know off the top of their heads?
Oh, good question. No, I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, let me pause it and let's take a look. All right, so we just took a quick check. They are Battle Brothers at the, or not Battle Brothers, whatever they want to call it, but essentially at the good level. I didn't have the names, but I was able to find the chart very quickly. I just didn't have it on us because my book's not next to me. I'm still fine at B. I think he's expensive. He's very cool. He's good, but he's expensive. All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take B.
Anything else for the moment on what we have here?
No, nope, good.
Find me a proper traitor keyword for the love of God, Games Workshop. I have more loyal aligned units than traitor. I have one traitor locked unit, and that's Perturabo.
Is it the Tormentor traitor locked?
Nope. I have Perturabo.
I'm gonna that's take my Iron entire Circle and a
traitor locked of my entire legion.
I'm taking Iron Circle and a Torment. I'm just going to buy them and make a Loyalist Iron Warrior armor. It's okay,
because Imperial Fists have more traitor Warlord traits than Iron Warriors do.
Yep. So ridiculous.
They got to prove exception. You know, they got to do the exceptions that prove the rules kind of idea, I guess. But all right, so this one's a bit of a shorter one for us, but like I said, we started a little bit late. We got the GW reveals in a little bit that we're going to sit and watch and all of that. And like I said, so, well, as always, we do thank everyone who does listen, watch, or whatever way you consume our content. If you do just tend to listen to the podcatcher, do realize we do put a lot more content out on YouTube. I try to put stuff that's appropriate on the podcatcher. Some of it could be, some of it isn't. Like the Conquest stuff I've done recently, it absolutely could go on both because I discuss all the bits, but I just haven't. I'll probably put it up there as well just so people have access to it. I might make a cut of it all together or maybe release it as a bunch of little pieces like I did. Hadn't decided which, but do realize we do put out content in other spots. So if you're looking at one, you're not seeing us put out that much. We are still putting out things. We don't do as many regular episodes or title episodes as we used to, just because of life has gotten in the way for a bit. That will hopefully change and maybe be a little bit more consistent. But if not, we still do put out tons of stuff. Like I said, this week alone, I put out a video every single day. And by the time you see this, there was one that came out the day before, then this one, and there might be one the day after as well. So there's plenty of things that we keep putting out. Just might not be in the right spots that you look in. A few things we do, like I said, we do have a Patreon. So if anyone does enjoy the content to a level that they would want to help support us, helps keep the lights on, helps keep all these sorts of things up in equipment, upgrading equipment, all that kind of stuff. Another way to help, if you do play Conquest, we do have a code in the show notes on YouTube, as well as actually on the podcast. I always put it there. Sorcerer Kings, who I've been talking about lately, I've been doing an episode every single day about them. They are dropping in just a few weeks, so now is a great time if you want to get into a new faction, play the game, want to get a new faction, or just want to save some money on stuff for it. You can save 10%. Helps us out as well. All right. Next week, we should be back, hopefully, maybe continuing this. If not, maybe discussing some other things. We'll see exactly what we do. We're up in the air with about 3 or 4 different show ideas, just dependent on the time frame that we decided what to do tonight. But next time, the hope is we'll get through, maybe if we can start early enough, we can do another, say, 2 legions of this, and then something else, and just release them as 2 separates. But we'll see how that goes. All right. I think that's enough of everything for the moment then. So, on behalf of everyone here at the show, how's it good hobbying? It's a great gaming.